Hello and welcome to the 72 Show. I'm your host Anthony Kendrick, and joining me this week we've got Josh Green.
Good evening.
We've got Nick Davey.
Good evening.
And we've got Ollie Inwoods.
Good evening.
Everyone well?
Yeah,
good.
Alright, well there's only one place we can start the show this week. Paul Clement's been sacked as Derby boss. Do we think that's the right thing for the club?
No.
Why not?
Not really.
Well, they're in the playoffs. They're only a few points off the automatics. And I don't think he's the problem. I think the chairman's the problem there. There's been a lot of money on players, and apparently the chairman's sort of trying to pick the team and not letting the manager... the manager do his job, really.
Yeah, didn't the chairman say in the statement exactly that he wasn't bringing through enough young players, but they signed like 13 players.
And they've also signed David Burke. Sacked David Burke, who was our director of football last season. He was shambolic for us. It just seems to me the whole club this season literally just being one of these ones where the manager, the head coach Clement, wasn't really getting much of a say in. He was sort of being told what to do, really, and evidently they've gone their separate ways. But it just seems they're signing players that are good, like Nick Blackman, but has he done anything at Derby yet? Just sort of signing players for the sake of it, really, rather than players that can actually fit and improve the team.
Yeah, Blackman, for me, is one of those signings. You see, he came in from Sheffield United to Reading, and he hasn't really proved himself at Championship level. And Derby have paid sort of, how much would it turn off? Million for a player that hasn't really scored goals until this season.
You could say Clement's not been back, but in the transfer market, I think Derby spent the most of anyone in the Championship and outspent a lot of Premier League teams as well. Could you say
not a lot that I know. I think they've spent a ludicrous amount, but I think it's not really Clement's. I think it just seems to me it's just the club as a whole, not really Clement getting much of a say. I think it's just what you hear at quite a few clubs over the years with the head coach really not getting his say. It's mainly just been people above him really bringing in. They like the look of a player and they bring him in and tell the manager, yeah, we're signing him, make it work. And evidently, he's doing all he can to make it work. They're in fifth in the league. They slightly underperforming. I can't really see a new manager coming in who's going to change an awful lot. I think they're going to appoint a yes man, really.
I think if the reasons given were sort of, it was similar to last year, and how they sort of at the beginning of their slide that they started last year with under McLaren again. But the reason given in the first, they say promotion isn't the main aim or something ridiculous as one of the lines in the press release. And it's just like, it just doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
Yeah, I've got some quotes here. It was that he'd not made enough progress, with the focus being to get the team back on track, and that, like you say, promotion's not the primary target. It's playing the Derby way. Can someone explain to me what the Derby way is, please?
The only Derby way I can think of is if you can become the worst Premier League team of all time, really. But I've never known of this Derby way.
It seems to just be, as soon as a team puts any pressure on you, you sort of collapse.
The Derby choke.
Yeah.
He was accused of not having a long-term view and, like, well, not thinking ahead to the club, just that thinking of promotion this season, not having that long-term view, just thinking too short-term. Do you think that's a fair thing to say?
Well, if they don't get promoted this season, they're going to be fairly screwed financially, from what I can tell. If the FFP rules actually, happen and are enforced. So I don't really know why they wouldn't be aiming to go up this season in the very short term, because long-term, they're going to be in a bit of trouble if the league actually enforce their rules.
Yeah, I think basically that what the chairman said is probably the biggest load of rubbish you're going to hear all season, really.
The academy director, a guy called Darren Wassell's taken over for the rest of the season. It seems like he's a bit of an unknown quantity. It'll be hard to tell whether that'll provide any improvement or not.
The definition of a yes man, really. He'll get told what to do by the people above him, the chairman. He'll get, and then I just can't see it working. I think with the club, I suppose Brighton, that Derby are probably going to, like do what they always do, probably bottle the whole of the I really can't even see them picking up a playoff spot now.
Would you, had they kept Clement, would you have said they'd pick up a playoff spot? Or
maybe. I think they should, certainly with all the money they've spent. You've got to say they've got it, really, but
Yeah.
No, I was just going to say, yeah, I just think with this sacking, everything, and the whole mood around the club, they can't seem to buy when I wouldn't be surprised. You've got teams like Sheffield Wednesday, Ipswich, and even Nottingham Forest who are winning. And I think that Derby are probably more or less looking down the table rather than up.
On paper, though, they've got one of the strongest, if not the strongest, probably apart from Middlesbrough, lineup, you know, on paper, I'd say, as well.
You see, right, but it's just clearly not working. I mean, I've seen on the telly Derby, sort of against Burnley a few weeks ago, and they were atrocious. And then say it's all well and good, let's say, having all this large squad, but they need to have a structure and have a system, or supposedly they need to play the Derby way, really, which they're not doing, really. And as I say, it's all well and good signing these players, but it seems to me more they're signing players for the sake of it rather than signing players to actually help improve the squad and actually help, get their systems correct, really.
I think from what I can tell from last year to this year is that they haven't really scored as many goals, especially like Chris Martin up front. He hasn't really got him firing than like he was last season. Maybe they're just trying to...
Yeah, comments as well, he's not really scoring enough.
Yeah, and I know they brought in Bradley Johnson, who has just sort of, he's got about 15 goals, scored many at all this year. So maybe they're sort of trying to light a fire under some of their attacking players.
I had a look at the betting odds this morning. I saw Paolo Di Canio was favourite to take over as the next permanent boss. I don't know how likely that is.
If anyone's got any popcorn, that would be pretty nice to watch. But now, I think that goes against complete. I think what Derby want is someone who's just going to listen to the board, really. But I think that's the complete opposite.
All right, let's move on. Let's talk about another sacking. Neil Redfern as Rotherham boss. At the weekend, they lost to Bolton. They're in the relegation zone. It looks like, you know, there was no alternative for them, even though he's not been in charge long.
Yeah, I was a bit surprised again. I mean, they're not doing too bad. I mean, they're in the relegation mix. But I mean, that's the size of the squad against others. But it's not like they're doomed, really, are they? I mean, they're still in there. And Redfern did a good job with Leeds last year. I think you'd like to think they've probably got someone lined up who's going to go in and someone who's already agreed to take the job. But again, it's a bit of a strange one, an undeserved one.
I thought I'd read that
Kenyon
was favourite to go to Rotherham, and that's why
that's active. Yeah, that makes a
bit
of sense, or more sense than the
Yeah, I just had a quick look at the betting odds, and that was what I'd read. I've not done any further research, to be honest. I just saw the odds this morning.
Are there any other names that are interesting in the job or linked with it?
Now you're asking. There was nothing that stood out. I had a quick scan. There wasn't anything. Neil Warnock was up there as well, actually. But I can't see that.
So I was just going to say, they do need a fight, though. You've got Bristol City starting to win under a new manager. Bolton picking up quite a few wins. It's going to be tight. MK Don's winning a few. So it's going to be a fight. They need someone who's going to obviously get players motivated and everything. You could say Di Canio, when he does join a club, he does, in short term, does make an impact. Obviously kept Sunderland up that year. Whether it is just a short-term appointment for Di Canio, but yeah, we'll wait and see.
Another headline from the weekend, there was a lot of postponed games. There were a lot of waterlogged pitches with all the rain, which was disappointing. There was two games in League One postponed, five in League Two, which always disappointing to see. I don't really know where we can go from that, just it rained a lot.
Waterlogged pitch. Good one, to be honest.
All right, let's talk about home clubs, the clubs we support, then. Nick, let's start with you. Got a decent win, Brighton, beating Brentford 3-0.
Yeah, well, I was thinking, actually, the games on Sky, like, we don't seem to win them on Sky, so that was quite nice for starters. I didn't get all the standard texts off my mates after the game, to how crap we are and everything. But, no, it was a really good win. So Anthony Knockhart looks an absolute steal of a sign, and he does seem sort of a player we've lacked really since we had Craig Noon and Will Buckley run there. He seems very effective and took his goal very well, and Jamie Murphy as well. He's had a lot of stick recently. I thought he really had a really good game, and again that he really seemed to back himself against fullback, because he's got the ability in him, Jamie Murphy. Also, that it was nice to see us clinical. It was the first game we actually won the season, we actually won more than one goal. So it was nice to see us actually taking the chances. And to be fair, I didn't even think Brentford were that bad. I mean, they could have easily gone 1-0 up. Alan Judge had a great shot that David Stockdale made a superb save on. But no, it was a very pleasing performance and a very certainly an eye-catching one. We've been on Sky and everything. Why do we keep up? We've got Bolton, I think, next Saturday. So there's certainly no reason why we can't get another 3 points. I think I said after the Blackburn game we won that I really can't see it. We really should be eyeing up 9 points if we want to get back on track for the season. And we're well on course for that. And it was nice to see the sort of the togetherness back that we certainly had at the start of the season. Obviously, it dipped a bit in December on a bad run of form, but it seemed that Chris Hughton's got the it was very, very nice to see.
A very very notable win for Peterborough as well this weekend, Josh. Beating Chesterfield with 9 men.
Yeah, very good results. Sort of something we haven't had to do under Wesley yet. We sort of cruised through those sort of games and got 2 or 3 new wins. And coming off the back of 2 defeats to Gillingham and Bert, I think it was important that we sort of turned around the form and got the 3 points. It was nice to see Tom Nichols on the score sheet and his debut for the club. Quite a simple goal, simple scrappy goal, but give the lad a lot of confidence going forward in his career with people.
Playing though with 9 men, I think the first, it was both the 2 yellow cards. The first one was with about half an hour left, and then the last 20 minutes or so was with 9 men, I think.
Yeah, Michael Smith got first red card, red debatables on the edge of the box, really wanted to, and second was Ricardo Santos blocked player off and they had sort of 20 minutes, 15 minutes against 9 men, and a team in League One probably should be capitalising on that. But nice to hold out and get 3 points.
Well, from what I saw, it was some last ditch defending, blocking shots and stuff. It looked pretty back to the wall, but it was a really spirited display from what I saw of it.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things you get from Graham Wesley during his time at Stevenage. He did like to pack the defence, shall we say, and put men behind the ball. And he can still go back to that tactic if he wants to and use it as opposed to that approach.
Well, what else can you do, really?
Yeah, when you're down to 9 men and you're holding on to the 3 points, it's the best thing you can do, really.
All right, not really in the Football League, not yet anyway, Ollie, but Norwich lost... Norwich lost 2-0 to Villa the weekend. It's been a really poor run of form, hasn't it?
Oh, God, we are. Just absolutely dreadful at the moment. Absolutely dreadful. We obviously saw the Liverpool game and I can't even call it defending in that game. It was just letting them through and scoring pretty much every time. And it's just gone downhill from there. I mean, I went to Villa on Saturday. And, I mean, Villa are one of the worst Premier League sides I've seen. And we made them look like they were bloody Arsenal or something like that, to be honest. It was just absolutely ridiculously bad. But... it's very much looking like another season of relegation and down into the Championship.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Do you think next season we'll be hearing you on the Football League show actually talking about a club in the Football League?
I can't see anything but at the moment. Problem is we've got all these new signings. Made these new signings, Naismith, Closer, and they just don't seem to have integrated into the side at all. It's just all gone to pot a bit, really, to be honest. And I can't see us catching. Well, I can see Newcastle pulling away from us, and that's pretty much game over, really.
All right. Well, let's move on. I've got a game for this week we can play. It's called Son of the Pitch, and it's a regular game on the V2 Football Podcast. But I'm bringing it here to the 72 show.
Excuse me. I don't know what it is.
Yeah. I'll explain. Don't worry. So basically, I've got 3 questions, so you can all play each other once. I will ask a question, and it'll have at least 10 possible correct answers. Basically, in a penalty shootout style, you have to name correct answers to the question. It'll be obvious when I ask the question what I'm after, so you'll have to take it in turns naming correct answers. five each, like a penalty shootout, and then if it's a draw, we go to sudden death. There's more than 10 correct answers, so keep going until someone gets it wrong, basically. First, we'll have Nick against Ollie.
I've got, right.
Josh, you can pick the question as you're not playing. The three topics, they're all to do with the 72. We've got managers, goal scorers, or the FA Cup.
We'll go with the FA Cup.
The FA Cup, all right. So, Nick and Ollie, you have to name teams which, from the Football League, who got to the FA Cup fourth round this year. There's 18 teams. So, yeah. Is that all right? Ollie, if you want to go first.
Shrewsbury.
Yep.
To the fourth round.
They got to the fourth round of the FA Cup. At least. If they got further, then that's also acceptable.
So they lost in the fourth round, that's fine.
Lose or win in the fourth round, it counts.
That's fine. Hull City.
Correct.
Middlesbrough.
No, they're not on my list. Nick?
MK Dons.
Yes. It's 2-1 to Nick.
Colchester, they lost to Tottenham on TV, didn't they?
They did, and that's 2-2.
Carlisle.
Yeah, correct. 3-2 to Nick.
Peterborough
weren't
they? Of course they weren't. Peterborough, they cost me
one
bloody accumulator.
Did cost you accumulator, but they have won you a point. That's 3-1.
Speaking of the FA Cup, West Ham have just gone 1-0 up. I'll go for Nottingham Forest.
Yep, that's 4-3, so Ollie's got to get this.
That's one.
God. I don't know. Where Sheffield United?
It? No, they weren't. Nick, do you want to name the final one just for fun?
I want to, but I'm thinking.
Josh, feel free to come in if you can think of anything.
Bradford, were they in it again? Bradford?
No, they weren't. They're not on the list, I'm afraid.
Derby,
yeah, played United. Derby,
how many more is there, mate?
Now you're asking 8, 9. There's 18 altogether. I think you've got 10 so far.
Burnley?
Yep, Burnley are there.
Reading, we've got them in next round.
Yep.
Blackburn?
Yeah, Blackburn are there.
Leeds?
Leeds are there.
Bolton?
Bolton are there, they beat Eastleigh and lost to Leeds.
QPR aren't.
They're not, no, not there. Alright, final, I'll tell you, the final, there's four left. Final four were Bury, Oxford United, Sheffield Wednesday, and Walsall. So we've got Blackburn, Bolton, Burnley, Blackburn, Bolton, Burnley, Bury, Carlisle, Colchester, Derby, Hull City, Leeds, MK Dons, Nottingham Forest, Oxford United, Peterborough, Portsmouth, Reading, Sheffield Wednesday, Shrewsbury and Walsall. They're your 18 teams which made the FA Cup fourth round. Originally I was going to do it teams which are still in the FA Cup, but realised I didn't have enough teams for it to make the game. I thought I was being a bit optimistic when I thought about it. Alright, let's talk about the some of the promotion races then. We'll come back to the game later. Start with Championship then. I think Middlesbrough only drew with Blackburn. But they're, I think they're now second in the league because Hull are top despite losing to Burnley 1-0. Late Sam Vokes winner. Also wins for Brighton and Sheffield Wednesday and now in the playoffs. So
Middlesbrough are currently losing to MK Dons as well.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah. Well, Middlesbrough seem to have stolen our slide really. Expect they'll give it back though soon. But no. Yeah, no. Again, they spent a ludicrous amount of money, especially on roads and everyone. and yet they can't even beat Blackburn at home. It's, I think, it's, I know Championship it is where you have good runs, you have bad runs, but as soon as they get another win, I think they'll be fine. But as I keep saying, I think Middlesbrough, if you're finishing above Middlesbrough, you're in the Premiership next season without question. I think they're going to win the league. Hull and Burnley, yeah, they're still obviously very strong sides from the Premier League, and yeah, they're two. I think they'll both be up there. I mean, Burnley's got the Burnley on a very good run of form, aren't they?
How big's that goal though that Vokes has scored to win the game?
Oh, huge! I think Burnley is still right in the mix of first and second. I wouldn't be surprised if Burnley do slip in. I think Sean Dyche is an outstanding manager, and he's always kept it sort of simple, 4-4-2 when he was in the Premiership, and he sort of kept this sort of squad together. And there was Danny Ings and Austin over recent years, but he still kept it pretty much similar with the style and everything. Added Joey Barton, which I think is a superb signing, and yeah, I think also it's a Sheffield Wednesday there on a fantastic run of form. They're really raising a few eyebrows. Gary Hooper seems to be a superb signing. Scored two goals on Saturday at Birmingham. I mean, I think that they catch up in Nottingham Forest as well. They're on a very good run of form. They could get a potential late playoff spot.
Derby are still sneaking in the playoffs. Still, just despite their poor run of form, they had a good run earlier, but they are still just about in the playoffs. And be interesting to see how they end up this season. All right, let's move on to League One then. Burton Albion won, they always seem to, and they're still top of the league. They lost the previous week, to be fair. Walsall lost 3-0 to Millwall as well, which was, a good win for Millwall, actually, to get into the playoffs.
Burton Albion, again, they seem to just, I think that, again, they seem they'll be up there at the end of the season. I mean, I said that last year, let's keep it very similar to their style of play that they've been doing for the number of years. Gillingham up there. But yeah, superb win for Millwall. I think Neil Harris is doing a superb job at Millwall. And they're into the playoff spots now. And they've got a young team fighting for the football club, which is something they've lacked over the last couple of years in the Championship. And it's good to see them doing well. And I wouldn't be surprised if they... do get a playoff spot.
Yeah, Burton are one of those sides. We played about 3 weeks ago and Clough had them playing very well, so squeezing the midfield, and they're very tight, and we didn't create any opportunities against them. So I think they're one of the teams that, if they do get promoted, which it looks like the world football is clear, they're going to do well in the Championship with a manager that's got experience.
There were some good wins for Wigan, Southend and Plymouth. So some good wins for Wigan, Southend and Peterborough as well, all of them in the playoff sort of area. The other big story is Barnsley, who've won their seventh game in a row. I think they're just outside the playoffs at the moment.
They just lost their manager though, haven't they, to Bristol City. Lee Johnson has just left and just literally won Man of the Month manager of the month, and then buggered off to go manage Bristol City. So it'll be interesting to see if they carry on their form, or if they just slide back to mid-table again.
Yeah, I agree.
Good appointment for Bristol City.
I think it is. Young manager, who obviously I've learnt a lot from his dad. Dad just managed the club. He's a West Country boy, Lee Johnson. I think it's a very good appointment, and it's nice to see him. Championship clubs giving young English managers a go.
Northampton in League Two extended. Go on, Ty.
Yeah, so I was just saying, playing two of the games for the club as well, that's obviously going to help.
Finally, in League Two, Northampton extended their lead at the top of the table to 5 points. They've got a game in hand as well over Plymouth, who didn't play at the weekend because of their waterlogged pitch. So it looks like Northampton are, the top of League Two. It's all looking good for them at the moment.
Yeah, and to be fair, there's a lot going off the field at Northampton. So, to be fair, that play to the players really showing Chris Wilder there. What a professional bunch, really, putting all that off the field stuff behind them. And,
The other big story in League Two was Leyton Orient beating Portsmouth and moving into the playoffs.
Yeah, Portsmouth seemed to be on a bit of a slump, and sort of I think, I don't think they've won in about three or four games. They're in danger of falling out, just even falling out of the playoffs. And I think Acton have got a couple of games in hand on them, so they could even pull out of the playoffs, which would be a major shock.
I think Kevin Nolan, fair play to him, he's seems to have really made a nice, easy stride into management. Jay Simpson score again. So Jay Simpson seems to be in the form of his life at the moment, and really finding the club that he's settling at. And Orient seems to be getting their playoff bid back on track. Nathan Jones, another win for him. I knew he'd do really well there. He's obviously a quality bloke. It's really nice to see him doing well. Another win for Luton, and I think they can really, in the loan market, if when it opens in February, if they can get a decent striker on loan, I wouldn't be surprised if Luton can.
Are there any other major stories in the Football League any of you want to mention?
Kevin Nolan's appointment, maybe. He's big for Leighton Orient. Obviously coming in, he's going to be manager and playing alongside. And with the Premier League experience he brings, obviously he's going to hand that over to some of the players. And I think that's going to be important if they are going to get promoted to the playoffs at World Cup.
It's a great appointment for them, especially. He was playing for West Ham only recently. It's not like he's been long gone and he's been around.
Yeah, exactly. I think shout out to Bolton, really, as well in the Championship, moving off the bottom of the table. And then Neil Lennon, obviously, it's no secret how much trouble. To be fair to Neil Lennon, he's sticking at the job. He's not running away from it. And he's getting his players winning results. That's a fantastic one. I'm to Rotherham and off the bottom of the table. I know they probably will go down, but they're certainly not. They're not making it easy for the other teams.
There's a Bolton fan who's a friend of mine. He's saying that he's been really miserable all season, but recently they seem to have picked up, and it's one hell of a side on.
Yeah, as a fan, obviously I know you can't control what goes on for the pitch, everything there. But if you're still going to watch your club, what you want to see is 11 players fighting, especially if it is youngsters. Obviously, you're not expecting them to knocking it around. Then you're not expecting to win too many games because they're a young side. But at least if they are trying very hard and they are picking up wins, then there's nothing more than a fan can really ask for it.
Yeah, it's a great battle as well. It's going to go right to the death. I think the Championship, you know, the relegation to the.
I think all leagues really are looking at that. From the Premier League right down to League Two, it just seems to be fantastic at the moment in all the leagues. I mean, there's just no, especially in the Championship, there's no one who's written off or going up. And the same really for League One and League Two, really.
There'll be plenty to play for as the season goes on, playoffs and promotions and everything. All right, let's move on to our second round of Son of the Pitch. This round will be Josh against Ollie. So, Nick, as you're not playing, do you want them to do managers or goal scorers?
They can do goal scorers.
All right. So, it's Josh to play first, as Ollie went first in the previous round. So, I want you to name any player in the Football League, whether it's Championship, League One, League Two, who's scored at least 12 goals this season. There's 16 players to get, and good luck to you both. So it's Josh first.
Adam Armstrong.
Yep, scored 17 goals for Coventry.
Andre Gray.
Yep, 18 goals for him.
Jason.
Yeah, he's the top scorer in the Football League.
Is it Bradley Dack, Gillingham?
Yes, he's got 12 goals.
Sure.
Connor
Washington.
He's not on my list. He's not scored 12.
Ross McCormack.
Yeah, 15 goals in the Championship. Sorry, can you repeat that?
Abel Hernandez.
Yeah, he scored 15 for Hull this season. He's had a good season.
Jordan Rhodes.
No, he's not on my list. So it's 3-3 going into the final round. It's basically sudden death from now on.
Sam Wimmer.
Yes, 16 goals for him.
Ruben Reed.
No, he's not on the list. So Josh has won 4-3. Nick, you got anyone in mind you can think of?
How many more is it to get?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. There's 9 more out there. Or anyone else if you've got any more in mind.
Bristol City striker, Cotter? Or Code, what's his name? The big Bristol City striker.
Sorry?
Codger, I'm not really hard to think of his name.
There's someone from Walsall on there. Someone from Walsall.
Bradshaw.
Yeah, something like that. He scores quite a few, I think.
Keemar Rowe for Oxford.
Oh god, mine's on blank. He's not on the list. I'll give you the list. It's Alan Judge, Barry Corr, Billy Sharp, Jabbo Ebehier. That was my best attempt. Leon Clark, Mark Richards, Matty Taylor, Nicky Ayoze, and Patrick Madden. So.
Nicky Ayoze, I thought. I thought
he was crap.
He's got 13 goals this season. well done to anyone listening along who got any of them. We've got a new feature this week, which we didn't do in the pilot episode, Club in Focus. So, going to talk about one club in focus. Going to mention Wigan, because I went to go and see them at the weekend. I went to go and watch them play Sheffield United and win 2-0. So, since 2013, when they were relegated from Premier League, they won the FA Cup with Roberto Martinez leaving. They've had spells under like Owen Coyle, Uwe Rosler, Malky Mackay. But they've sort of gone down a bit. But then this season under Gary Caldwell, they've looked a lot better and looks like they might have hopes of automatic promotion from League One, getting straight back into the Championship. Expecting them to get at least the playoffs, and yeah, it's good to see them doing well this season under Gary Caldwell.
Yeah, I think Caldwell. I thought you just know that's probably going to do pretty good as a manager. He's League One, he's winning on the pitch. So I'm happy for him, but I think he had a very good. I think I would say when it was a big club like Wigan getting relegated into League One, it reminds me when Wolves got relegated to League One. He was at a big club, a good chance to do well. The club all set up really for him to do well, and he's made some good signs. Got a young squad there, and yeah, I think they're a club that obviously their fans were very annoyed to be relegated to League One. But again, it sort of does remind a bit of that Wolves season. League One, they've sort of got rid of a lot of the, how can I put it nicely, good enough anymore, so to speak, and the sort of better than youngsters. And it's working, I think, with Wolves. And yeah, I wouldn't be surprised at all they've got an automatic shot.
You say about, being run well and that. Dave Whelan was in charge. He had a bit of a controversy, and now his grandson's running the club. But I'm sure Dave Whelan's doing a few things behind the scenes that we don't hear about.
No, I was just going to say I completely agree. I can't say well. I reckon Dave Whelan's literally doing everything, but his grandson's probably just the one who addresses the media, probably.
Yeah, their player Max Power as well won the Sky League One Player of the Month.
Max Power.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was doing. I remember him. He was at Tranmere, I think, but then when they were struggling in League Two, so yeah, that's a really good sign. I think he was linked with a lot of Championship exceptions, Max Power. And, yeah, it's good.
All right, let's move on to the final round of Son of the Pitch then. So, two that haven't played each other. It's Josh against Nick. They both won the first two, so this is, I suppose, is the final. So the topic that's been left for you two is managers. So I want you to name any manager this season who's either been sacked or has left their job for whatever reason. Only sackings once the season has started counts. There's 31 of them, so there's plenty to get. I can't see you getting them all, but I suppose you can give it a good go. All right, it's 31 to get. Nick, do you want to start us off?
Yeah, Neil Redfern.
Yep.
We've got Paul Clement.
Two obvious ones to start with. That's one all.
Steve Evans.
Yep. Sacked from Rotherham earlier in the season.
Lee Johnson.
Yeah, that's... Yep.
I'll go for Chris Ramsey.
Yeah, QPR boss. Well, he was the QPR boss.
Johnston.
Yeah, the Luton Town.
Kit Simons.
Yep, it's 4-3 to Nick.
I'm struggling.
There's still a few big names on there.
Ian Hendon.
Yes, former Leyton Orient.
Steve Clark.
Yep. That's five. Yeah, former Peterborough United boss. That's 5-all. We're into sudden death then. Nick to play.
Uwe Rösler.
Correct. That's 6-5.
Mark Robbins.
Mark Robbins. I'll just chat. Yeah, that's fine.
My guy then, is it?
Yeah. 6-all.
Dave Cotterill.
Yep.
Paul Dicker.
Yep. Sack from Doncaster Rovers.
Chris Powell.
Yep.
Mickey Adams, is it?
No, he left it. He was in charge of Tranmere a while ago, and he's now in the League of Ireland, so yeah. Unfortunately, that's not right.
Right, and legend.
So, Nick has won. So congratulations, Nick. You don't leave this show empty-handed either. It's different to the main podcast. We've got a special award for you, which I'll explain in a second. But first,
you're not going to give me tickets to a crap game, are you?
You're coming with me to watch Wigan.
Wigan game?
Oh,
no.
No, no.
No, to be fair, no, so I'd actually snap your hand off there.
The pubs out there are actually genuinely quite good, but no, right.
That's why I went there last season for the 2-1 defeat. I was offered the ticket on the assumption the pubs were class, and I was proved correct.
Yeah, I've been there myself. I think it's got the most pubs in terms of population there or something.
Yeah, it's actually a really nice town. I really like it, you know. the football we played there, it was probably the worst football match I've ever watched, but no, it's...
Yeah, it was good. It's not that bad. It's not that bad.
It was good for an away day. And to be some of the places I've been up north, I'm not going to go to the names, but Blackburn, you literally want to die.
All right. I'll explain your prize in a second. But first, I want to give out the V272 award. So basically, I want to give this award to the player who, well, we can agree. Well, basically, who do we think played the best in at the weekend? So I asked you guys for nominations before the show. I got Jamie Murphy and Knockout for Brighton, who both played well. We've got Gary Hooper from Sheffield Wednesday for his double against Birmingham. And finally, one of my own, Scott Shearer, who saved two penalties for Mansfield as they won 2-1 in their game. Who's my own nomination. Do you guys have any thoughts on anyone else you want to add?
One more I was going to add. Lee Gregory of Mill scored twice at Wolves' score. We had a good game up front for Mill.
Yeah, that's the name I would put in there.
All right. Ollie?
That list, I'll probably actually have to go for, to be fair. The goalkeeper, Scott Shearer, to be fair, been saving two penalties in one game is an absolute incredible run. Did you say they won 2-1 in the end?
Yeah, they won 2-1 to the two penalties saved.
I was going
to
say, that's not man of the match worthy. I don't know what it is. So.
Well, Nick, as you won the son of a pitch, power's in your hands to decide the winner.
Ah.
So you can decide which player...
I'll give it to... I could be biased to give it to the Brighton. I know what it's like being goal and saving penalties. So yeah, I'll give it to Scott Shearer of Mansfield.
So congratulations to Scott Shearer then. It was good of you not to give it to a Brighton player there, Nick. I'm impressed.
Yeah, I was. To be fair, she did not come up because I played for them.
I think Ollie or who was it? I can't remember who it was. It was somebody messaged me saying, because I asked before the show, and someone messaged me back saying, "Was it Ollie or Josh?"
Yeah, I watched him on Friday night, and he ran the game.
He was
ridiculously
well. He does. Yeah, it's my first chance to play, to be fair, and I was wondering what he'd bring to the table to actually see if players, you know, we have actually signed someone like this.
All right, well, I think that's all we've got, unless anyone wants to mention anything else.
Check out the Everton B2 football podcast on Friday morning.
Yeah. All right, yeah, you can check out the main podcast, as Nick says, which me and Nick both lovingly go on to as well. You can also follow us on Twitter at B2Football. You can like us on Facebook. You can follow all of us on Twitter. I'll put all of our Twitters in the description. So, yeah, you can follow all of us if you like. I've been Anthony Kendrick. It's good night from me and good night from everyone else.
Night.
Good night.
Good night.